Well, you didn't really have to apologize, James. We have times like that at home, too, where we're not sure what the Lord is trying to say. I think probably the older ones here have seen more of those times than I have. And yet, maybe we have some of the harder times ahead of us. The Bible does say that, you know, in the last days, things will not necessarily get easier, but rather harder. But I'm glad to be here this morning. I bless the Lord. Told my wife before I came up that I'm kind of glad that I had that affliction of my flesh the last couple of days. I feel a little weak, and I'm probably better off that way right now. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong in the Lord. Not in the old Paul, but in the Lord. Well, last night my wife came to me and said, do you have a message? And I said, well, I'm not sure. I thought I would preach one that I preach at home, but there does seem to be something coming that I'm going to start writing down. And so that's what you will hear this morning. Before I do that, I'd like to just read a few verses out of a message that I did preach recently. In Jeremiah 23, in verse 28, that chapter of Jeremiah is speaking to the pastors, shepherds, the flock, and it's perhaps the most negative chapter in the Bible about being a pastor because it has a lot of warnings in it. But we need that chapter too, as well as the encouraging and the good ones. I'm just going to read a few verses in here, in verse 28. It says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Now, the way I see it there, he's talking about a dream, and he's talking about God's word. Oh, sure, do I have this thing right here? I'm not really used to this thing. I'll let you put it on, brother. Thank you. We'll try that. Now, I don't know how many of you have, in your experience with the Lord and walking with the Lord, have had a dream during the night when you dream something. God showed you something. Or perhaps when you were awake, you saw a vision. I can say that I have a few times. And it speaks about that. It says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. There's room for that, I believe. But then it says, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And then, as I see it here, he makes a difference between the two. Between the dream and the word, which I would say the word to be this book that God has given to us that we can all open, and we can be Bereans, and we can search the scriptures and see if these things be true. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? I would say, from my perspective, what I see it, I have had dreams and visions. God spoke to me. Yet I would have to say that in compared to the Word of God that is given to us, I would have to put that in the classification of chaff. Not that it doesn't have a place, but it's not the real meat. The wheat is the Word of God. The Bereans are a good example for us to search the Scriptures. Is not my Word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Now, that's all I'm going to read out of that chapter. That's not my message for today. But I would like to encourage especially all that are ordained in leadership here to read that chapter. Okay. Message that I have, title is in the form of a question. When I ask you a question, do you have a degree? Do you have a degree? Yes, Dad? What is that? Okay. Remember Chris Armstrong in Peru? Remember him, Dad? He said he has a master in heaven and he's a bachelor. He wasn't married. Okay. Is someone else? What were you going to say something, Willard? Oh, I saw your hand. Okay. Well, I grew up in a setting where there was not really an opportunity for what we call degrees that we, you know, I'm talking about here just in the opening. We went to eighth grade and that was it. But one of our sons in our home, he's not here today, but he's enrolled in studies at a local college with the goal of attaining a degree. He wants to get a pilot's license. And we blessed him in that. We encouraged him in that as we prayed about it and talked about it a good while over the years. And he's pursuing that. And in the process of getting his pilot's license, he has also elected to take some extra classes or an extra class or so, so that he can get what's called an associate's degree. And so he's working for a degree. And I've been amazed at the motivation that I see in my son to get this degree. I mean, it has helped our whole family be on schedule, because if we want to have family devotions before he leaves, we better have him at a certain time or he'll be stirring to go, you know. And he works late at night to get his essays written. And then he works at the barn shop whenever he can to, you know, make money to pay his bills through his classes. And it's all for a degree. And now I'm not going to be talking only about this kind of degree, but I wanted to open up with this. It's all for an earthly, temporary degree. And God can use people with degrees. Paul had degrees. Now, I don't think Peter and many of those others didn't have. And Christ could use both, and I think it's still the same way today. And so I'm not here to promote you getting a degree. As I said, the setting I grew up in did not look favorably on what we call higher education. So I did, like all my friends, after the eighth grade, I was done. A while later, I got a GED, so I do have that. We needed that for homeschooling. Had I been given the opportunity when I was young, I probably would have pursued the status of a veterinarian. You know, that always fascinated me when the vet came once a month and did the herd check, and every once in a while he'd do a special procedure. The one that fascinated me the most, I think, was when he had a cow that we had a displaced abomasum. Probably every dairyman here knows what I'm talking about. Cows have, you know, within their big body, they have four stomachs. And every once in a while, that one stomach that's supposed to be down here will somehow find its way up where it's not supposed to be. And so, milk production drops, the cow starts getting thin. Unless you correct that, you could die. So here comes the vet, and we'll give the cow a sedative. She'll be standing there restrained, and he'll open up her side and get the stitches in that stomach and put it down all the way through to the bottom of her belly and pull that thing down there. That always fascinated me. I would still enjoy doing that someday, I think. But I would need to get a degree to do that, you know, for the most part. I would need to get a degree. I'd have to study that science, and I'd have to put aside some other things and pursue that degree. I'm only 40 years old, so I could still do that, I would think, if the Lord gives me a normal lifespan. There's people older than me that are still getting degrees. So that opportunity is not passed. I don't really expect I ever will. However, there are degrees that I want to have. They are what I will call, for this message, the degrees of Christ. D degrees of Christ. Did you know that Christ gained a few degrees in his 33-year term on planet Earth? The degrees of Christ. Let's consider some of them. First one I have, Christ had a degree in humility. This one becomes obvious from the very start of his life. Just think with me of how and where that he was born. From the presence of his Father in heaven he came. To be born, I would have to say, in a rather humble fashion. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses. The birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We lived in Peru, as most of you know, for a little while. And they had something there that reminded me of this scene. They have elections every 4 years like we do here. They have elections. At election time, everyone, it doesn't matter where in the country they live, they have to go to their hometown. So if you were born in Ohio, Brother Joe, is that where you were born? You would need to go to Ohio to do your voting because that's where you were born. That's where your nationalization card refers you to. Or wherever we've been born. So over election time, these people in this country did not have cars for the most part. Very small percentage of them have their own transportation. They traveled in buses, in big public transportation buses. Or minivans or even cars, pack them out and go down the road. So over election time, the buses were packed. The roads were busy. Bus fares went way up, doubled even maybe more sometimes to what normal price was. And it was just a time of a lot of movement because everyone had to go back to their hometown to vote. And by the way, if you didn't vote, you had a heavy fine to pay and you lost out on a lot of benefits that you were entitled to otherwise. But here, somewhat the same situation. Joseph, he lived in Nazareth, in Galilee, but since he was of the house and lineage of David, he had to go to Bethlehem to pay his taxes. And as I described there in voting time in Peru, I believe there was a lot of traveling. Because everyone, wherever they lived, they needed to go to their hometown to be taxed. So here they are. Caesar Augustus set his time for taxing. He made no exception for expectant mothers. And there is no stopping the birth of a baby when the days are accomplished. So Jesus was born. In what I would have to say, very humble circumstance. As the prophet Micah had prophesied, there in Micah in the Old Testament, he was born in Bethlehem. And since there was no room for them in the inn or in the hotel, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, was laid in a manger. And the Futterdruck would have said, the German, he was laid in the manger where the cattle, the sheep, horses, where they licked out their feed. That's where he was laid. good beginning in the degree of humility. Perhaps a modern-day similarity for us to try to relate to that would be we were traveling and the days are accomplished, the baby's going to be born, there's no room in the hotel, but they allow us to go to the parking garage and make out the best we can. Maybe that's the sort of a similarity for us to try to understand their situation. You know, I expect that Joseph and Mary had a loving home. But of this world's goods, they did not have much. We see more evidence of that when they came to perform the ritual of the law concerning the birth of the child. There, later on in Luke chapter 2, verse 24, when they came to do that sacrifice that went with childbirth according to the law of Moses, the law of the Lord, for them, and then in those days, the standard sacrifice to be given was a lamb with either a dove or a pigeon. That was the standard sacrifice. There was an exception made. Someone couldn't afford a lamb. They could bring two birds instead of a lamb and a bird. That's what his parents brought. They brought two birds. Christ is earning his degree of humility. In Luke 10, verse 58, Jesus said, when someone came to him and said, I want to follow you wherever you go. I want to stay where you stay. I want to be with you. Jesus said, foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Apparently, I gather from that, Jesus didn't own a house. He depended on the generosity of his friends. And I'm not trying to say that our children should be born in a parking garage or laid in a manger. I'm not trying to say it's wrong to own a house. I'm not saying that, but I'm lifting up our Lord and like to look at his degree of humility that he earned. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He held the Last Supper for his disciples in a borrowed upper room. He was buried in the borrowed tomb of a friend. There wasn't much to divide of his last will and estate that we know of. As far as we know, it all took place right there at the cross when they took care of his clothing on his back. Humility. Is there something there for us? You know, how do we look at things? Am I right? Are you people in Pennsylvania like we are in North Carolina? Tend to be? You know, we tend to look down on someone who rents year after year instead of buying a house. You know, we tend to look down a bit on someone who works for an hourly wage instead of managing his own business. Is that true here too? May it not be so in the kingdom of Christ. Christ, he's our example of humility. He got his degree in humility. He earned it. He lived in a way that was offensive to those who trust in their riches. He dignified forever the lot of those who find themselves on the poorer side of the scales. James chapter 2 and verse 15, James reminds us, our practical brother there in the Scriptures, he says, hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? No later he says, but ye have done what? You have despised the poor. You've looked down on them. You thought they're not worthy of your friendship or of your time. May that not be said of us. May the poor among us know we count them worthy, very worthy, of our time, friendship, respect. Philippians 4, 5 through 8, more about the humility of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I would like to say that Jesus earned a good degree. Could I say he earned a master's degree in humility? Could I say that not too many are pursuing that degree today? But it's a very worthy one. Romans 12, verse 16. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Associate with the humble. Make friends with the poor around you. God gives grace to the humble. We need God's grace, don't we? This one has a good reward. Everyone who goes after a degree, like my son is, some of you here are going after a degree. There's a reason. You have a reason to want that degree. More to it than just the degree in itself. Same way with this degree of humility. There is a good reward. God gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. We lift up ourselves, won't get very high. Like we'll be pushed back down, I believe. But if God lifts us up, there is no pushing down. Look at Christ. What happened to Christ? Continuing there in Philippians. He humbled himself. So what did God do when Christ humbled himself? We know what God did when Lucifer exalted himself. He cast him down. What did God do when Jesus humbled himself? He says he has highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Well, the degree of humility. Degree of humility. Second one is the degree of obedience. Here's another one. See, we're talking about degrees, but not the kind that you'll get in your local college. The degree of obedience. How did Christ gain a degree in obedience? 12 years of age, we see him. The record tells us, the Holy Scriptures tell us. At 12 years of age, him and his parents, they went to the temple, as they were accustomed to doing once a year. Went with their friends, family groups, I suppose. Made that trip once a year. They did their sacrifices, kept the Passover. This time, as they were heading home, they'd gone a good ways when they discovered that Jesus was not with them. So they began looking for him. They thought he was with his friends or his cousins, perhaps, that were all traveling together in one happy group there, going home from the Passover. But they couldn't find him. So they got worried. They were concerned. And they began looking for their son. Finally found him in the temple. And he was dialoguing with the leaders, with the religious leaders. They were amazed at the questions and the answers that he gave them. But at the end of that account tells us that Jesus went home and was subject to his parents. And as far as we know, he continued that till he began his public ministry at 30 years of age. What an example. The degree of obedience. In the education system, for the most part, degrees do not come quick and easy. You can't just walk into the college and say, "Hey, I want a degree. Just give me one." And that's how it is with the degree of obedience as well. That's how it was for Christ. Did you know that he learned obedience? In Hebrews 5:8 tells us that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. How can it be that the Son of God learned obedience? That's a part of him becoming Son of Man as well. He learned obedience. He's our example in that. How? By the things which he suffered. This degree didn't come quick and easy. He earned it through the process of suffering. and being made perfect, it says, or having graduated from a class with honors, with the degree of obedience, he received power to give salvation to all that obey him. You know, to all that also pursue the degree of obedience from him. Having received the degree, he now has the power to give the degree. Are you pursuing it? The degree of obedience, or have you enrolled in the obedience class? Are you getting good grades? Now you can find out if you want to. I'll just be practical here. 1 John tells us that if we say we love God and we don't love our brother, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. And the test of whether we love God is whether we love our brother. Could we make an application here? Don't want to stretch the scriptures in any way, but could we make an application? Are you getting a good grade in the obedience class, the obedience of Christ? Do we just bring it home? Why don't you ask your pastor if you're getting a good grade? Ask him, and if he's willing to be honest, he can tell you whether you are a joy or a grief to watch over. If you're a youth, your parents can tell you if they're willing to be honest, if you're getting a good grade in this class. If you're an employee, your boss can tell you how well you're doing this course. This one is very important. Samuel said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15:22, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." We need this degree. It's more important to learn to obey God than it is, could I say, to preach a good message or to know how to lead singing or to, you know, go witnessing. Is that right? I think that's right. I think that's what he's saying there. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken or to listen is better than the fat of rams, referring to their sacrifices in the Old Testament. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 38, said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." John 8:28-29. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He earned a good degree in the class of obedience. The third one I have is the fear of God. This one just came to me recently. I never thought of Christ as having earned a degree in the fear of God till just recently. One of our brothers at home preached a message on the fear of God. Good message, very good message. So we went home. We were reading in Hebrews that week, and I decided we're going to read our morning devotions and we're going to keep the theme in mind of the fear of God as we do that. And so we came to Hebrews. Chapter 5, I believe it was. I thought I had that written down. Maybe I'll get to it later. But he talks about the Lord Jesus. He says, "When he prayed with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared." He earned a degree in the fear of God. Christ did. That's a challenge to me. We see that in the life of our Savior, the fear of God. Consider with me when he was tempted there in the wilderness at the end of his 40-day fast. He got three temptations there from the devil. In response to the first one, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." To the second temptation, he said, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." To the third temptation, he said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, what does that teach us about the fear of God? I believe that we see there he had a reverential fear of God. Even though he himself was the only begotten Son of God, and because he feared God, he was careful to walk in obedience to the Word of God. Even though he was the Word made flesh, he was the express image of the Father, and yet he took the warnings of the Scriptures. Even though he was the living Word himself, yet he took the warnings in the Scriptures and he applied them to himself. Now surely if he did, you and I should too, shouldn't we? We got a powerful warning this morning, didn't we, about money. Do we think that's just not for us? I'm going to say Jesus took the warnings in the Scriptures and he applied them to himself because he feared God. Are we so spiritual that a warning like that is just not for us? How about 1 Corinthians 10:12? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Does that apply to us? Or are we beyond that one now? Have we attained some level that we are beyond that now? I believe Christ got a degree in the fear of God and that he applied the warnings in the Scriptures to his own life. And I will say, if we don't, we are on sinking sand. We don't want to be on sinking sand. We want to be on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was going to take the one in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll just read it again. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. That's a warning, brothers and sisters. There's a warning there. They that will be rich. Do we think that doesn't apply to us somehow? To many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Do we feel we can swallow the American dream and not be destroyed? Christ didn't feel that way. He took the warnings in the Scriptures and he applied them to himself, thereby gaining a good degree in the fear of God. Let us do the same. Fourth one I have, Jesus had a good degree in the power of God. Jesus had a good degree in the power of God. Miracles, healings, raising the dead, multiplied the bread and fishes, walked on the water, ministered to those around him. He could see into their hearts. He could minister to the needs like no other man could. Power of God was manifested when he rose from the dead, never to die again. This is my last one, and it's for a reason that I have it in this order, I believe. Well, it's the reason, the way they came to me, but I do believe, as I thought about it, I was glad that they are in this order. Because before we get the degree in the power of God, we better get a degree in humility. We better get a degree in the obedience. We better have a good degree in the fear of God. Or the power of God in us will probably destroy us. What happened when Aaron's sons, and now they're high priest, now they have the right to go into that inner sanctuary where no one else can go. They went in there drunk. God smote them dead. They had a gift, but it wasn't sanctified. We live in a day, I believe, when many desire the power of God. And I'll say right now, I am one. I want more of the power of God in my life. I trust everyone would say that here and desires that in your heart. But before this one, before the power of the resurrection comes what? The fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable to his death. Matthew 13, 38 and 39. Some of the scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus with these words, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." And Jesus had some hard words for them. He said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah." He did not give them what they wanted to see. Before honor is what? Humility. Before the power of the resurrection is what? The old man has to die. Fellowship of his suffering. Let us not teach it any other way, brothers. Be faithful in that. Many today are praying, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit and with power from on high. Grant to us the gifts of the Spirit." And that's a good prayer. I pray that. But may I challenge you, and I'm going to close with this. May I challenge you to pray this way. "Lord, give me a degree. Give me a standing in your kingdom. Fill me with humility. Teach me obedience the same way that you taught your son, Jesus. Give me a degree in the fear of God so that I can have wisdom. Fill me with the sufferings of Christ so that I may fully experience the power of his resurrection." Amen.